Well, as I mentioned earlier, Nancy and I were gone last weekend. We had a week of vacation in Chicago with my parents. We returned Tuesday night, later than we anticipated. Our flight was canceled, but then rescheduled, so we arrived later on Tuesday night. And this week, I intended to continue our sermon series, or restart our sermon series, from the book of 2 Samuel. We've been going through 2 Samuel throughout 2019, and then we took a break from 2 Samuel for the Christmas season. We had messages from God's Word and related to the four themes of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love. And then a message from God's Word on December 29th about the story of what happened after Christmas. Then this past Sunday, one of our elders, while I was gone, Colin Dunn, preached a very fine message from Psalm 1. So today, I was to return to 2 Samuel, but after I received the news on Wednesday morning about our financial situation for 2019, I decided to put off 2 Samuel for one more week and instead preach about what the Lord taught me through this process. And I think he has a lesson for all of us today from a variety of scripture passages, mostly from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see, every morning I meet with our director of administration, Cindy, and our music director, Hannah. We go through the order of worship for the coming Sundays and plan out various activities on the calendar and all that. And this past Sunday, we were joined by our financial administrator, Vinaya. And I don't spend a lot of time with Vinaya because what she does is very confidential, and I don't want to know who gives what, and she's the only one who keeps track of that. She's like one of those people that work for one of those three-letter agencies, you know, and you say, well, what do you do? And she says, I can't talk about it. So I don't spend much time with Vinaya. But this past Wednesday, she joined us, and I asked her, how did we do? What happened? What was the final total for 2019? And she told me that our expenses and giving were such that our giving, our tithes and offerings, exceeded our expenses by almost $17,000. I was surprised. I was very surprised. I was interested in this topic because I want to receive a paycheck. No, not because I want to receive a paycheck. I'm interested in this because I really believe that contributing to the work of the kingdom of God through the church is a indicator. It's a measure of not only your financial health, but of spiritual health and spiritual maturity. And those are two topics that I'm very interested in. I'm very interested in the congregation's spiritual health and spiritual maturity. Even though I have no idea who gives what, it's good to know in general how we're doing in terms of giving. I agree with Randy Alcorn, who wrote this little book. I've not read it yet, but I just opened it to the beginning knowing that he'd have a good quote for me today. It's called The Treasure Principle. Randy Alcorn says, there's a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we think about and handle money. He continues, we may try to divorce our faith and our finances, but God sees them as inseparable. I agree with that. So we as elders are concerned whenever we fall behind in our giving, wondering if that's an indication of spiritual health and spiritual maturity. Of course, like most churches and all nonprofit organizations, in January, a year ago, we started out way behind. It just happens that way every year. Nonprofit organizations experience a dip in giving in January. And I became concerned because January, our giving, our tithes and offerings were less than half of the budget for that month. And then in February, things were not much better. Then in March, we got a little bit better thanks to 5 Sundays. Woohoo! 5 Sundays of the month is always a good month for giving. But when I wrote my letter to you in early April about our tithes and offerings, our giving, our tithes and offerings was only about 70% of our budgeted amount for those first 3 months. So I was concerned, but the Lord provided. We began to catch up very slowly but surely to the point where at the end of September, you might recall, you should have received a letter from me in early October that said we're almost caught up. Well, I think we're about 98% of our giving versus our spending. But then October happened. Not good. October was not good, which is budget season. And, you know, we elders, we get a little bit stressed out about this because, of course, on the one hand, we want to trust God and set the budget according to what we believe we want to do. We believe the Lord is leading us to expand the counseling ministry or add a missionary or whatever. But then you've got this concept of good stewardship, and numbers are what they are. So there's this tension, you know, between wanting to step out boldly in faith, yet having to maintain good stewardship. So there's always this tension. And honestly, Wednesday morning, I expected to hear that our tithes and offerings did not quite equal our expenses for the year. That's what I expected. It would not have been the end of the world. We have some reserve funds, but that's what I was expecting. I was expecting, honestly, to be a little bit disappointed. Again, because I believe it's an indication of our spiritual maturity and spiritual health. So, my reaction was surprise. And as I reflected on this later that day, on Wednesday, I asked myself, why was I so surprised? And what the Lord told me was, Don, it's about your spiritual maturity and your spiritual health, or lack of those things. So I decided I need to set aside 2 Samuel for one more week and search the scriptures and see what does the Lord say about being surprised. I did a very thorough word search, a word study. I have this amazing software where you just click on a word and it takes you to every passage of scripture where that word occurs. And then you can cross-check other Greek and Hebrew words that are similar. So I did a very thorough study of these words, to be surprised, or it's often translated to be amazed or astonished. And all the related words like amazing, astonishing, to be in awe, wonderment. And I discovered that the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four gospel writers, as they describe the life of Jesus. He inspired those four authors to use this word many times as he described the ministry of our Lord Jesus. To be surprised, to be amazed, to be astonished. From the very first day of Jesus' life until the end, until he was crucified and resurrected, we see this word used to describe the reaction of people to Jesus, and occasionally Jesus' reaction, to be amazed or surprised, astonished. You remember the Christmas story where the shepherds were gathered in the fields and they were amazed, certainly, but the Lord doesn't necessarily say they were amazed. It says they were afraid, but then they went to Bethlehem and they saw the Christ child. And then Luke tells us they went and told everyone about this, and quote, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So the very beginning of Jesus' life, his very first day, people were amazed at what they heard about Jesus. Many years later, when the women went to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, where Jesus had been buried, they were amazed. And the 11 disciples didn't get it at first. Let me read for you a passage from the end of Luke's gospel. The beginning of gospel of Luke, we see the story of the shepherds and the amazing story they told everyone about the birth of the Messiah. Then at the end of Luke's gospel, we see this from Luke chapter 24. Let me read just verses 9 through 12. When they came back from the tomb, speaking about the women, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, that's the disciples, and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. That word to wonder is the same word we see used to be surprised, to be amazed. Peter just was so amazed at this, he really could not believe it. He couldn't believe that the Lord Jesus actually rose again from the grave, as he said he would. So from the beginning of the life of Jesus until the very end, we see that Jesus was surprising people, amazing people. Matthew tells the story of Jesus walking along and coming upon a fig tree that was not bearing fruit, and Jesus cursed the fig tree. Matthew 21, turn there if you've got your Bibles, or there's a Bible in front of you in the pew. We're going to be looking at several different passages from the Gospels today. In Matthew chapter 21, we see the story of Jesus coming across this fig tree, beginning in verse 20. Matthew says, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed that Jesus cursed this fig tree and it withered. They said, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will also receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So now we see yet another one of these passages where they were amazed. The disciples were amazed at this. And Jesus said, no, if you believe, you will receive. If you don't doubt, if you actually believe, you will receive if you go to the Lord in prayer. So, I was surprised that the Lord provided because I doubted him. There's no other explanation. The Apostle Paul uses this word only one time. It's in Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul had been through the region of Galatia, it's modern-day Turkey, on his very first missionary journey. He shared the good news of Jesus, saying that Jesus was the Messiah. Some people came to faith in him. They were trusting in Christ alone for their salvation. So some small churches were started there in Galatia. And then he returned home, and then he heard about what was happening in these churches in Galatia. And he wrote them a letter. And he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he said, I am astonished. Same word. I'm astonished. I'm amazed that you have so quickly departed the true gospel and are believing another gospel, which he says is no gospel at all. He was amazed that they had departed the true gospel, that our salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And some people were teaching the Galatians that you're saved not only by your faith in Jesus, but also by your works. They were saying, you've got to do all these religious festivals, and you've got to adhere to all the Jewish dietary restrictions, and you've got to be circumcised, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And he was saying, no, that's not the true gospel. He said, even if an angel from heaven should come down and tell you another gospel, let him be condemned. There is only one gospel, he said. He was amazed that they believed this. When I read that passage or when I hear that passage, sometimes my mind goes back to many years ago, might be 8 or 9 years ago now, where there was a knock at the door, actually a ring of the doorbell. And there were two young men, dark trousers, bright white shirts, name tags. Hi, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons. Of course, I invited them in for a chat. And they went on to explain to me that their religion was based on a man who had a vision from an angel. And we eventually got to the point where I said, guys, it's all about faith in Christ alone. Look at this passage. They said, we'll come back later. They never came back. But the point is, Paul says he was amazed at this. So sometimes the Lord can be amazed, and we'll see this in as far as Jesus goes as well, that, we Christians, we know, we believe in Jesus. How many times have I heard this? I believe in Jesus. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Okay, great. But sometimes we believe in Jesus, but we don't actually believe Jesus. When he says, if you believe, if you don't have doubts, if you actually pray by faith, you will receive. You can move mountains, he says. Now, of course, he's speaking hyperbolically. But the point is, do we really believe Jesus when he says, I will provide everything you need? Apparently, I didn't believe it because I was shocked when he did it. So, an elder this past week, when I told him that I was going to be changing in my sermon and waiting on 2 Samuel, immediately he said, oh, John, Don, that's like the story of when Jesus told the disciples to go back out into the Sea of Galilee and cast their nets in the deeper water. And he said that the nets were overflowing and they could not believe it. They were amazed that they actually obeyed Jesus. And what do you know? They caught all these fish. We read about that in Luke chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Then I visited my friend Cristiano on Thursday. I try to meet with Cristiano every week, and we pray together. And, of course, one of my prayer requests is always, that the Lord would guide me in my sermon preparation. I told him what had happened, and I was changing my plans, and he said, Don, that's like when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat, and he calmed the sea. They were amazed. They were surprised. You see, this is all through the scriptures. Even when Jesus was a young man, when he was a young man, Luke tells us that he went into the synagogue and he read a passage from Isaiah. That he unrolled the scroll and read from the book of Isaiah. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And quote, all spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. So Jesus was amazing people as a baby, as a young man, and to the very end of his life at the resurrection. All through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that people were amazed. They were surprised. John chapter 3 tells the story of this man, this Jewish leader coming to Jesus at night and asking him some questions. And Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus was surprised by this answer Jesus gave. How do we know he was surprised? Because Jesus then said, don't be surprised at this, Nicodemus. A couple pages later in John chapter 5, Jesus said to his disciples, you will be amazed at what you see me do in the future. You will be amazed. Same word. John chapter 7, the Jews were amazed at his teaching on many occasions. In Matthew's gospel, we see that people were amazed at the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, where he said, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. That is, you can't do it in your own works, and you're not going to get to heaven just because you're rich. They were amazed at this. In Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus said, when they were trying to trick him into, you know, should we pay taxes or not? And he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. They were amazed at his teaching. That's what Matthew says. We see the same word used later in Matthew chapter 22, verse 33, where they're trying to trick him and ask him questions about, okay, if someone marries someone and then that man dies, and then his brother marries the widow, and this goes on and on and on, you know, she has several husbands here on earth, whose husband will she be in heaven? And Jesus gave him a very clever and satisfactory answer, that there is no marriage in heaven, and they were amazed. It says here that the crowds heard this and they were astonished at his teaching. Sometimes we see in the scriptures that people were surprised, amazed, astounded by who he spoke to. You see, Jesus often hung out with sinful people, people like you and I. And people were surprised at this. Indignant is the word the Bible often uses. In John chapter 4, we see that Jesus met with this woman from Samaria. We sometimes refer to her as the woman at the well. And John tells us that he had to pass through Samaria. He didn't have to pass through Samaria in the sense that there was no other way. In fact, Jews typically avoided Samaria because they were considered unclean. They were a mixed race and they had a weird religion, and Jewish people did not hang out at all with Samaritans. Well, Jesus went out of his way, or didn't go out of his way, but he specifically went through Samaria and came upon this woman from Samaria at the well. You remember the story? And the Bible tells us that the disciples were surprised that Jesus was talking to this woman, this Samaritan woman. Sometimes people were surprised at what Jesus did not say. They were often surprised at his teaching and about what he said, but sometimes they were surprised at what he did not say. Let me ask you to turn to Matthew 27, again, toward the end of the gospel story, where we see Jesus on trial before his death and resurrection. In Matthew chapter 27, we see that Jesus is appearing before government officials. In verse 11, let me read just these four verses, Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Pilate was shocked, astonished, surprised not at what Jesus said, but what he did not say. So Jesus surprises people in a variety of ways. Of course, Jesus frequently surprised and amazed people by what he did, especially healing. According to my research, on at least six occasions, we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, six different occasions when Jesus healed someone, people were amazed, shocked, filled with awe. You can translate this different ways. There was a time he healed the man with a shriveled hand in the synagogue. People were amazed and filled with awe. There was a time he was approached by a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Jesus healed him so he could both talk and see, and everyone was astonished. Another time a demon-possessed man was healed, and then he went and told everyone about this, and quote, all the people were amazed. Then there was a time there was a 12-year-old girl, a leader of the synagogue named Jairus. He came to Jesus and he pleaded with Jesus. He said, quote, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jesus went to their home. She was healed. And of course, the parents were amazed, astounded, astonished. In Matthew chapter 15 and other passages, we see that great crowds came to Jesus, quote, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised God, the God of Israel. And in Luke chapter 9, we see that Luke reports the story of a boy who was having convulsions because of demon possession. Jesus cast out the demon and, quote, all were amazed at the greatness of God. So people were always being surprised, amazed, astounded, astonished, but by Jesus said, his teaching, and by what he did. But it's also important to see that Jesus was occasionally surprised at others. He was amazed at the faith of the Roman guard, the centurion. He was amazed, is what Matthew tells us. Sometimes we see that he was amazed at the lack of faith among the disciples and others. Listen to Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. We see this story told by Mark. Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this in chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. So again, why was I so surprised on Wednesday morning? I do believe that giving our time, talents, and yes, our treasure to the work of God's kingdom is an indicator of spiritual maturity, but giving is not the only indicator. Another indicator is the degree to which you trust God to provide. And if you're totally surprised by that, that's an indicator of your lack of faith. So I've got a long way to go. We see from the birth of Jesus to the resurrection, he was surprising people, and he continues to do that today. In fact, even after the resurrection, let me read another passage from Luke's gospel. At the end of Luke's gospel, we see, beginning in verse 36, what happened. This is after the resurrection. You remember the story of doubting Thomas? Thomas was one of the disciples who heard that Jesus had risen from the grave, and he said, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it, he said. I will not believe it until I see his scarred hands and scarred feet and scarred side. I will not believe it. Thomas was just being honest. Okay, so then later, here's what happened. Luke 24, the very end of Luke's gospel, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, astonished, amazed, of course. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, He showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it, thus proving that he was not a ghost. So they were so startled, they were so amazed, they literally could not believe it. So I guess I'm in good company. Well, what about you? What about you? What is it in your life right now that you could honestly say, okay, I believe Jesus, but I'm really not believing Jesus for this particular thing? Jesus said, if you believe and do not doubt, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So what is it in your life? A relationship that is so broken, it's going to take a miracle. Well, of course, God delights in working miracles. It's a situation at work that is so tangled up and messed up, you're thinking, it's just impossible. Is it a habit that you just cannot break? Well, God delights in hearing prayers from his children about these very, very difficult matters. So let's do that as we come to the table. Let's just pause for a couple of minutes as we come to the table today and pray. And if you can't think of anything, pray for me. Because I was surprised. And I shouldn't have been surprised, because I really, at least I said I believe that he would provide. Peter, the apostle Peter, who was the most prominent of the disciples, of course, he denied Jesus three times, but Jesus restored him. And Peter went on to do great things for the kingdom of God, including he wrote a couple letters that are in our Bibles, 1st and 2nd Peter. And he used this word to be amazed, astonished, one time. It's usually translated as wonderful. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, he says, you are God's people. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Some translations say, a peculiar people. A people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful, amazing, astounding light. So let's celebrate the fact that we are in a relationship with God through Jesus, who continues to amaze and astound and astonish. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He was with his disciples. He took the bread. He broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. They probably didn't quite understand what he was saying, but he was instituting this wonderful sacrament that we now celebrate. And we celebrate this with other believers around the world. After supper, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread, as we take the cup today, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. Not only did he die for us, not only was he resurrected for us, but he lived a sinless life. He lived a life that people were amazed at everything he did, everything he said. And we should continue to be amazed at that today. So I'd like to pray over these elements. And if you're a member of any Bible-believing church, you're welcome to take this meal with us. If you've not yet committed yourself to God's visible church, young children also should not yet partake because they're not yet ready to understand what this is all about. But please, if you're a member of any Bible-believing church, not just Crossroads, please do participate with us. Take the bread, take the fruit of the vine, and think about what the Lord Jesus did for you. But first, let's just sit for a minute or two and pray. Would you please think through what is it in your life that you're believing Jesus, you're believing in Jesus, but you're just having a hard time really believing him, that he will actually do this, that he will actually provide whatever you need or whatever it might be. So would you just take a minute and pray, and then we'll take the sacrament together. Let's pray. Father, forgive me for my lack of faith. I know I was surprised because I really didn't believe that you'd provide as you did. Father, we thank you for our emotions, for these reactions we have, whether it is surprise or anger or sadness, because these emotions sometimes indicate something deep going on in our hearts. So whenever we're surprised, Lord, help us to ask ourselves, is that because we really were not trusting you? Whenever we get angry, Lord, help us to ask ourselves, is it really because maybe we're just not getting something we think we absolutely are entitled to? But Lord, concerning this subject of being astonished, amazed, surprised, in awe of you, we thank you that you are a great God, and that although we are finite in our understanding of you, we thank you that sometimes we are surprised because you are an amazing God and your grace is amazing. And we know that we have a relationship with you by faith in Christ, who was an amazing man who we trust in alone for our salvation. So Lord, now bless us as we take this sacrament together. In Jesus' name, amen.